Okay.
Okay.
Okay, go on the alimut of the dinim of Hilchus Lashon Hara from the Chofetz Chaim is l'schus refuah of our best friend Rabbi Yosef Dov ben Chayla. So, he brings down here on today's day, he says that we've been speaking till now, we were speaking, if you remember, yesterday and the day before, about the person who criticizes the Dayanim in the Beis Din and says that they're incompetent. So he says that in any case, when you hear any Lashon Hara about somebody else, then you are not allowed to believe it, except to the extent that you can protect yourself against harm as a result of it. So he says, for instance, if you hear that a certain shopkeeper is dishonest and giving underweight, for instance, in the packages that he prepares, then you just take the precaution. You go along with the scale, or you don't buy there, or whatever it is. In other words, you're choishish that maybe it's true, but you're not allowed to believe a negative assessment. Similarly, you're not allowed to believe a negative assessment of somebody's intelligence or his abilities, because unless he's a doctor, maybe. But otherwise, yeah, it's a matter of opinion. You know, I think that Pliny is not very bright. So I tell that, you know, you tell that on. It can affect Shidduchim afterwards. It can affect chances of getting a job. It's Zecha Lashon Hara. If you walk around saying, you know, Pliny is, yeah, sometimes you get it with speakers. You know, we can speak about the speakers. You can say, you know, yeah, not bad, but he doesn't come over as a big Talmud Chacham. I don't like him is okay, I think. You're allowed to say your opinion. My personal opinion, I don't like his style. You know, but the Chofetz Chaim said, we remembered, we learnt once about speakers, the Chofetz Chaim says there's a common phrase that people use, saying, yeah, he gave a half an hour shir and he said nothing. Yeah, the Chofetz Chaim says, there's no such thing, he didn't say nothing. He must have said something. It might not have been your taste, it might not have been as much as you were hoping for, but he didn't say nothing.
And
so
you're allowed to, after the speech, what did he say?
Well, that's the same thing as saying he said nothing, no?
No.
It's just you using it as a question. What did he say?
It's always implied.
It's like saying, you know, jihad, they say, they're all shouting jihad at the demonstrations, and when you ask them, yeah, you're all calling for jihad, for murder of Jews, etc., etc., they say, no, actually the translation of jihad is inner contemplation. Yeah, the translation of jihad is spoinanus, is reflection and thought, etc. So we're only calling for peaceful thought, etc., etc. When you say, what did he say, it usually means, you know, he didn't say anything, I think. If that's what people understand, I'll call upon him.
Every time you say something, it's always in my opinion.
Say in my opinion, if you say in my opinion, in my, or even if you say better, you know, in my humble opinion would be even better. I don't think it's implied. You can't say that. You can't say that. Okay, fine. Says the Chofetz Chaim, right? So he says that he carries on and he says as follows. So somebody's considering taking a partner, then he's allowed to suspect the information is true, right? But he's not allowed to believe it. And he says that that's not, he says then there's a shaila, and this is a complicated shaila, is having heard some negative information about someone else and he is suspecting only, yeah, a suspicion that maybe, is he then allowed to pass on that negative assessment to someone else, to another person, in order that that person should protect himself? And Kol Shekein, what happens if that person is the sort of person who's likely to believe the Lashon Hara, who won't have learnt Hilchos Lashon Hara, who won't know that you're not allowed to believe it, you're only allowed to suspect and protect yourself? Then he says that's a complicated question which needs additional study for further details. So, Blaine, I'll come back to you on that tomorrow. Okay.
Start your day at the Torah Way, Northwest London, Tuesday. Rosh Chodesh Kislev, 1st of Kislev, 40th of November. Rav of Hershel Hardish Lita, conquering Gaza. This week's Torah Way is discussed. Hashavuim Achayolim, Shiatsu Levotem, Shalom Mehiro, and the response of this course, Hashem Simcha Ben Chayat Rav Meir Yoe, Makala Estachan of Asrocho Shetichi, She Yiskul of Nos Bias, Nemon Bizvel Bekesha, Shal Kayomo, Bivinyan Adei Ad.
I want to discuss
Kibbush Oretz, conquering Gaza, the hostages. And before we do that, we need to discuss what we're conquering. Gaza, is it part of Eretz Yisrael or is it not part of Eretz Yisrael? Avraham Avinu, in the Bris Bein Absorim and Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem promised him, Min ha-peros ad nachal Mitzrayim. Naha peros, top right, northeast, ad nachal Mitzrayim, which is the bottom left, southwest. Anything between those two rivers will be Eretz Yisroel. Cho ulezaracho et neno. Now we know Gaza is the bottom left of Eretz Yisroel, but it's above Nachal Mitzrayim, wherever Nachal Mitzrayim is, but Nachal Mitzrayim obviously is somewhere next to Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim or above Mitzrayim. Gaza is definitely between the two borders Hashem promised Avraham, between Nahal Peros and Nachal Mitzrayim. That was the promise. In Sefer Yeshua, in Kapitel Tesvov, Yeshua divides the land between the Shivta Yisrael. Shevet Yehuda is promised or given. Ashdod Neseo, Azo Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. So the Azo which we're talking about belongs to Shevet Yehuda.
It's Azo and Gaza the same thing.
Azo, yeah, just the pronunciation. In Sefer Yeshua, Kapitel Yud, it says, Vayakim Yeshua, Mekodesh Banei Va'ad Azo. And Porsche will explain, he got till Azo. Yeshua himself did not conquer Azo. In the end of Yeshua, in Perek Yud Gimel, Hashem says to Yeshua, Yeshua Zokim Bo V'yomim, Yeshua is old, before he was Nefta, V'yomim Hashem Eilov, Ata Zakanto, V'oretz Nish'aro Ha'bim Oidereshti. You didn't do your job properly. You didn't finish off the job. You didn't conquer the whole of Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem mentions which part he didn't conquer, and one of the towns he says, the area is Kol Galilos Pelishtim. Chamesh Esane Pelishtim, the five princes or officers of prince of Pelishtim, Azati, Ashdoidi, Ashkeloni. Azo, Ashdod, Ashkelon, where we know they are, bottom north of Eretz Yisrael, you did not conquer. Just off topic a second, the Pasuk says the Laknani Teichoshev. But Emes Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael Eretz HaKnani. Knani was one of the Ein Lekach of Noach. But he was Koivish, that whole strip called that we call today Eretz Yisrael. Pelishtim, which is Azo, is Eretz Pelishtim, that part of Eretz Yisrael. Pelishtim was actually Ben Mitzrayim Ben Chom. He wasn't Knan. Why do we receive Eretz HaKnani, Chit Yemoyer, Apizi, Vavusi, Vagigoshi, they're all descendants of Canaan. Eretz Pelishtim is not Canaan. The Ramban says in Parashat Devarim that the Pelishtim took away from the Canaanim. It was Be'emes originally Eretz Canaan, Eretz Pelishtim, but the Pelishtim who Rashi says in Devarim there, they were Mamzerim. They were the Azasponim. The Mamzerim, Kasluchim, they intermarried in a very bad way. And this Pelishtim were Mamzerim and difficult people. And they conquered that part of Canaan, and that's why it's called Eretz Pelishtim. But Emes, originally it was Eretz Canaan. Akapunim, the part Azo we're talking about, was Eretz Pelishtim, originally Eretz Canaan. Yeshua did not conquer it. 400 years later, in Sefer Shmuel, it says, Vayilku, the Shevet Yehuda went, and they finally captured Azo ves Gevula. There's Yerushalmi in Trumas, very interesting Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi talks about which cities were at Yisrael, Lina Trumas and Masus, so which weren't. And Yerushalmi says, Ashkelon is not considered at Yisrael. Now, what's not considered at Yisrael? Because the Oile Mitzrayim, or Oile Bovel, did not conquer that part. We'll go to that in a second, briefly. There were two kibushim. The first kibush was Oile Mitzrayim, which the Yoytze Mitzrayim, or their children, or a few hundred years later, Bizman Bayis Rishon, up to the end of Bayis Rishon, was called Kibush Oyle Mitzrayim, the first Kibush. The second Kibush was with May Ezra, where not all the land which was conquered originally was reconquered through Oyle Bovel. What we consider to Tisro Legav Trumas Amasas proper is the second Kibush, Kibush Bovel. So not all parts of Eretz Yisrael were conquered the second time the same way they were originally conquered. So the Rishonim talks about Ashkelon not being conquered the second time in Kibush Bovel. And the Rishonim says, how could you say Ashkelon is not Eretz Yisrael? The Pusuk, we just said in the Shmuel, where 400 years later, after Yeshua, they conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Pusuk says they conquered Vayukud Yehudah Azov Es Gevulah, and Ashkelon is definitely further north, above Azov. So if they conquered Azov, obviously they conquered Ashkelon. That's what Rishonim asks. So Shami answers, Lase Azza, delete Azza, which in Farshim explained, there must have been two Azzas. The Azza the Apostle talks about, and the Azza, we talk about two different Azzas. So Shami goes on, but fine. So you, delete, so you say other two Azzas, but what about Ashkelon? The Apostle itself says, in Shmuel, they conquered Ashkelon and Azza. So the Shami says, Lase Ashkelon. Okay, there are two Ashkelons. It's not the same Ashkelon. So Shami then asks, Oy Bazoi, what about Nachal Mitzrayim? Nachal Mitzrayim is also two Nachal Mitzrayims? And the Yishalmi, as dozens, hundreds of times the Yishalmi doesn't answer. Just stops by the Kasha. The Bavli usually either says Tiyufta or Teiku. The Yishalmi just has a question and goes on. Which is makes it difficult, but makes it easy. You can say your own Pshat in Yishalmi. We have very many Pshatim even in this Yishalmi. Why the Yishalmi usually say it chose to ignore the question? That's not a question. That's how the Achroin, Rishonim, Achroin, explain this to Yishalmi. Yishalmi chose to ignore a sarcastic question. If you say, Azaz loved Afka, Ashkelon loved Afka, everything loved Afka, Nachal Shamus loved Afka. But what's the answer? Was it part of Yisrael or wasn't part of Yisrael? So, one of the Rishonim, the Rash on the Daf, he explains to Yishalmi, we're not bothered up Sukkim of Azaz. Why not? Because it says there, as the Achronim explained, Vayilkoides Azo. It doesn't say Vayichboishes Azo. There's a difference between Lechchide and Kvisha. What is the difference? Koivish means you conquer properly. Vayilkoid means you just took it for tax purposes. It wasn't a proper Kibush. So when the Pasuk talks about conquering Azo 400 years later, it's not real conquering. It was just for the sake of like today or what it was. You take the taxes from them, but you don't really rule the place. That's how the Rash explains Yishalmi. Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Sefer Derech Amun on Trumas has a different explanation. Again, he answers, takes the liberty to answer Yishalmi's kasha. Yishalmi leaves it with a kasha. Obviously, it's not a kasha. Why is it not a kasha? So he says he goes through Nach about a dozen times in Nach, where we see Plishtim was a very difficult place to conquer. They were conquering, lost it. Conquering, lost it. All through Bayis Rishon, most of the times Bayis Rishon, Plishtim, we call Azza, was not under Kibush Yisroel. Shimshon HaGebe was fighting with Plishtim. David HaMelech was fighting with Goliath with Plishtim. Shlomo HaMelech, it says, Metivsoch Ad Azza. He ruled till Azza. Azza, he goes through many, many psukim in Nach, where the Nevi'im and the Melochim were always busy with Plishtim, conquering Plishtim. That's why the Shalmi is not bothered with Azza, because it wasn't a proper kibbush. Most of the time, as Man Bayis Rishon, Azza was not under the rule of Klal Yisrael. It was always a difficult place to conquer. Adayim Azeh, there's always the problematic place of Eretz Yisrael. We never had Nachas from this Plishtim. Interesting to point out, the Alkut Shemoyni, Parshas Lech Lecho, Avraham Avinu, Vayichros Bris im Avimelech Melech Plishtim. This is where we're talking about Azza. And the Chazal in Yalkut say the Melech Ashores had Tanas on Avraham Avinu. They said to Avraham Avinu, Hashem, you were Koris Bris on Avraham Avinu. You're one Keli with Avraham Avinu. How can he now make a Bris with Avimelech Melech Plishtim? It's not right. The Mephoshim actually ask, in the Torah Pass Mishpotim, it says, L'sichros lehem bris leiloi hayem. You're not allowed to make a bris with Goyim. Aron Vinu, former Torah, made a bris with Avimelech. And the Melech HaShoros, Makatrig, why did he do that? He made the bris for Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can't now go and make a bris with Avi Melech Malach Plishtim. Try to make peace with Plishtim. So Hashem said, defended Avraham Avinu, and he said, I gave him one son. You'll see, if I ask him to makir my son, he'll do that for me. Don't worry, he's still mine. We're still one. So the whole Akedah, the Nisoyin Akedah, came about because he did something which wasn't right in the eyes of Melech HaShoros. And the Kitruk brought about the Akedah, the Nisoyin Akedah, to prove a point that he's still loyal to Hashem Yisborach. The Medrash carries on. Mikan Omru, Ein Lecha Uma Ba'olam, Shenishtavdu Behem Yisrael Yosef Memena. There's not one nation in the world which tortured the Yidden more than the Plishtim. And the Mog of Rome on the Yalkut says there, as you look, say for Yeshua, you'll see it. Plishtim, as we just said before, from Chaim Knievsky, Plishtim was always a sore thumb of Klal Yisrael. It was always problematic, always made us problems, this Plishtim. This Avimelech, Avraham Avinu's bris with Avimelech, however many generations last, it wasn't a marvelous peace treaty. Then the Medrash carries on in Yalkut. Avraham Avinu actually gave Sheva Kvosois to Avimelech. And the Yalkut says, O Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave seven Kvosos to Avimelech. Many punishments, many tzoros will come from those that master of a similar bonus you've done. One of them is quite a few things. One of them I list is the Yalkut says, Keneged kein horgim mebonecho zayin tzadikim. The Plishtim will kill seven tzadikim from your descendants, Shimshon, Chofni Pinchos, Shaul HaMelech, and three of his children, as you see in Lach. And seven Botei Migdosh will also be Chorav, either through the Plishtim or because of this oven of Plishtim, Oil Moed, Noive Gilgal, Givo and Shile, Beis Salomim, two Botei Migdosh. There was this act of making a bris with Avimelech and giving the Shemek forces was a tzura for Klal Yisro. Lialk lists many other tzuras we had from this peace treaty which tried to attempt with Avimelech, Melech Plishtim. Fast forward, this Plishtim, as you said, this man by association wasn't a proper kibbush, either it wasn't a full kibbush or it was a very partial, limited time kibbush, on and off, as we see now again. There's an interesting tshuva of the Ma'arit. Ma'arit lived in the time of the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef, and he writes a tshuva to Azo in Shin Nun Zayin. That's 430 years ago. Someone was living in Azo, a Yid was living in Azo, and he writes, Eretz Rachavs Yadayim L'Schoyre, it's very good land. Guinness Apadeis Chol Madani Oilam. Beautiful place. This fellow went to Mitzrayim, and he did Mischa Mitzrayim. He married there. And now, years later, he wants to bring his wife back to Azza. She's not interested. She doesn't want to go back. Now, there's a mission then of Ksubas. We marry from one city to another city. Can you force your wife to come back with you? And Hakuman let us throw. If you marry Chutzorot, you can always tell your wife, she can tell you, we want to move to Etisrol. The question is, can he force her to go back to Azza? Is Azza Etisrol or not? That's his children. So then he brings Yerushalmi, which he just brought before. When Shami asks, rhetorically, is Azo Tisrol, we see the Pesukim it is, Azo Ashkelon Nacha Mitzrayim, Shami says, so the Marit says, obviously the Shami didn't bother to answer that question. That question talks about Pesukim Bizman Kibbush Mitzrayim, Bizman Bayis Rishon. Kibbush Buvel definitely wasn't Azo. So Shami's not bothered to answer the question because the questions, the Pesukim of Bizman Kibbush Mitzrayim, the first Kibbush. You can't ask from the first Kibbush to the second Kibbush. It was Eretz Yisrael maybe once upon a time, but since the Oyle Bovel, the second time round, when Ezra came, they didn't conquer Ashkelon and Azza. So that's where Yishalmi, when he brings the Pesukim, is not bothered to answer, because the Pesukim talks about Bayis Rishon, Kibbush Mitzrayim, not about Kibbush Bovel. So obviously, since it wasn't Eretz Yisrael, it was Mount Kibbush Bovel, the second time round, we didn't conquer Azza, so it's not Eretz Yisrael Bechlal. Well, Bechlal, it is Eretz Yisrael, Legabe some Kedushas, some Aluchas, but not Legabe Chiyuv Mitzvahs, Trumas and Masvahs. And you can't force your wife to come back to Azza because Azza is not considered Eretz Yisrael. It might have once been Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Oyle Mitzrayim, Bizman Bayis Rishon, Bizman Pesukim, but not Bizman Bayis Sheni and afterwards where we didn't reconquer Azza Ashkelon, therefore it's not Eretz Yisrael proper. That's what the Ma'arit says. And then he brings... Sorry? It was promised, but if only if you go and koivish it. Yeshua had to be koivish as a shul. Wherever he wasn't koivish, didn't have the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And then when he left, we had to reconquer it, recapture it for kedusha soilam. So whatever Oyle Bovel captured is today considered Eretz Yisrael. Whatever they didn't capture is not considered Eretz Yisrael. Now then he carries on. He brings the sefer Kafta Beferach, one of the Rishonim. With the Kafta Beferach, famous sefer, he goes through all the borders of Eretz Yisrael in detail, every town and village with names and halachas to do with Eretz Yisrael and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the Kafta Beferach, the Marit brings the Rishon, the Kafta Beferach, who claims Aza is Eretz Yisrael. And he brings a very interesting raya, the Kafta Beferach, from one line in Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin, the final Aleph, talks about Abayis HaManuga. Abayis with Nagoim. Tzoras, Abayis with Tzoras. And the Bavli in Sanhedrin, Ein Aleph, says, Umar Ablazer Reb Tzudik. He wants to prove that there was, some Tanoim say that there was never Abayis HaManuga. There was never Abayis with Tzoras. He says there was. And the Blazer says, Abayis Hoi B'Tchum Aza. There was a house in Tchum Aza, a famous place. V'Yikorin Oysa Churvas HaSgirta. He used to call it the closed, the Bayis HaMuzga. The Bayis HaMatzoyre, says the Kafta Beferach, says clearly in the Pasuk, the Bayis HaTzoras only applies to Tzrom. And the Gemara Sanhedrin says there was a house in Tchum Aza, which was a Bayis HaTzoras, so obviously Aza, that's Tzrom. Very clear in the Gemara, that they considered Aza, that's Tzrom, but not known. That's the Kafta Beferach's raya, that Aza belongs to Tzrom. Says the Marit, not Sarah Raya. Why? First of all, maybe it was, as we said, originally Eretz Yisrael, Bezman Oile Mitzrayim. Fine, so this Bayis HaManuga, Bezman, Bayis Rishon had Tzoras, the Tumah stayed forever. Even though now it's not Eretz Yisrael anymore, but the Tumah of the bricks of the house are still there. Once it became Tumah, the Tumah didn't go away. So that's why they refer to this house, the old Chava, the old Bayis HaManuga, which was Bezman Bayis Rishon, but it doesn't prove that now Azar is still Eretz Yisrael. Inam, he says in other Teretz, the Gemara says Tchum Aza. Tchum usually means Tchum Shabbos in 2000 Amos. Tchum Aza may be in the area of Aza. It doesn't actually mean Aza, what we call Aza. Maybe it was across the border, we say. We're within Eretz Yisrael proper. And that's why it was Eretz Yisrael. It was Bayis HaManuga. But Aza itself could be, what we call Aza, is not Mamash Eretz Yisrael. That's Ad Kana Marit. Machloikus Rishonim, whether Aza is Eretz Yisrael, Legabe Mitzvah Satluis Barot or not. Then he ends this interesting note, the Marit ends, that even if this fellow's a Mitzrayim, he married a Mitzrayim, if you consider as a part of Mitzrayim or not, and he says the Mishnah Ksuvah talks whether part of Mitzrayim, Azza being part of Mitzrayim, belonged to Mitzrayim, so a person can take his wife from one city to another city in the same country. So, okay, you failed to force a mitzad taking her to Tzisrol because Azza is not considered Tzisrol, but you can take her from town to town or city to city within one country. So he says, it's not true, because the Mishnah Ksuba says you can take from krach lekrach and ilir, city to city or town to town. You can't take from a city to a town. And he says, Mitzrayim is a city, Azza is a town. He says, why? He says, Azza, there's no doctor there, there's no hospitals, it's not a proper hospital. And he says, there's Mitzrayim is Ishroba Yisrael, there's Ishroba Akum. He says, there's no Talmud Torah there, Lo Yiman Degomu Lema Desov, no Talmud Torah there. I feel a Pesach Sefer in Bo. This is someone who knows a Pesach to open a Yiddish Sefer there. Yidin there, but never the Halb Bagulish. So Ibazo, you can't take her from Eretz Mitzrayim, which is a Krach Le'ir, even though it would be one country. That's how he ends off this beautiful city of Aza. Okay, now, the next point. The Mechoma, which is going on today, is it considered a Mechemes Mitzvah or not? So the Rambam clearly says in Echas Melochem, what's considered a Mechemes Mitzvah? Shiva Ammon, conquer Knani, Eretz HaKnan, Shiva Benun, or Mechemes HaMolek, or the third part and point he says, Ezras Yitzrol Mitzvah Shavu Aleim. If the Sonim come to be have Mechoma with Klal Yisrael, there's a Mitzvah to go and wage war with these Sonim. So it's considered, called the Rambam, a Mechemes Mitzvah. Whether the kibbush today can consider it a kibbush to, if you do conquer, reconquer Aza, I don't know what the in their mind is, if they know themselves what their mind is, what they want to do with it after the war. Does that make it kibbush Eretz Yisrael to reconquer the government of Louis Boris? There's no melech, no novin, no shofet who is in charge to decide to give it the kedusha Eretz Yisrael needed if it's not Eretz Yisrael. But it's like a chona. Lebiris HaMashiach to save the Eden from the Rotschem and to clean out whatever you can in order to Shevet Yudish will come back to that part of it. Now talk about the hostage situation. A Yid can buy another Yid, but with limited rights. You can only buy an Eved Ivri. His guf doesn't belong to you. What belongs to you is his work. You can buy him a master your dime. You can buy an Eved Ivri. A Yid can buy a Goy, probably with proper kinyan. Not only the master dime, the kinyan a guf. A Yid can buy a Goy, can have a slave, he can buy a slave, the slave belongs to him. Loy Nazare. So you can actually acquire a Goy, it belongs to you. A Goy can buy another Goy. He can also buy another Yid. But again, but the Goy is limited. He can only do master dime. He can buy another Yid, he can buy an Eved Yisroel, he can buy an Eved Goy. But he hasn't got full rights, full ownership over a Goy, cannot have full ownership over a Goy, over a Yid. That's, we're talking about kinyonim, normal kinyonim. Buying slaves. So a Yid can buy a slave, a Goy proper. A Goy can only buy a Yid or a Goy, only the master of not a proper kinyon. Not a kinyon aguf. The Gemara Gittin talks about a different type of kinyon, a kinyon called kibush. In Pashto, because it says, Vayish b'menu shevi, went to Mechumu Melech Arod, and they captured someone from Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, which is considered Kibush Mechumu. Now Rashi in Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Dalet, and also in the Chumash, says that the Goyim captured in the Mechumu, they didn't capture a Yid, they captured Shifcha Knanis. It wasn't a proper Yid. What they captured was a Shifcha Kananis, which belonged to Eid. Why? Because Rashi says, the kinyonim, you want to buy someone, there are different kinyonim, how to buy a slave. You can't force yourself upon a slave. You can't take someone with a kinyon chazoka and take a slave a chazoka. There are different kinyonim, like buy a metalton, buy a course, as a way of buying a vodim. But you can't buy a slave with kinyon chazoka. And if Vayish B'Menushevi, capture is a force. You can't force, even a Goy can't force himself upon someone else and can't acquire someone through force. Can't acquire Yid through force. Elamai must have been a Shifcha Kananis. The Goy can capture Shifcha Kananis through force. He can't capture Yid through force. That's what Rashi Al-Chumash says and Rashi Al-Gemara says. According to Rashi, a Goy cannot capture Yid, even a Master Yadayim. At all through force. There's ways of kinyan here. Goy can buy a Yid, he can buy an Eved Ivri, but he can't force, he can't capture an Eved Ivri. In captivity, it should belong to him in any what way. And even if he does that, he's a Gazlan. But he can force himself upon a Goy. Why? Rashi says it's Gzela. Now Gzela always works. If you want to steal something, how do you acquire it? You steal it, and it has to be Yish as well. The person has to be miyash. If the person is not miyash, it's not yours. It's the yish, it's the nishus. But capturing in war is a very powerful kinyan, and the person is definitely miyash. And even though he screams he's not miyash, he is miyash. And therefore, you can even capture karka, kibush karka, kibush mechoma. You can only capture people, you can capture ground. You capture karka. How? This kinyan is a very strong form of yish. Even though karka, usually you can't steal karka, karka in gzeles, through war you can. Because it's like Matlam Zitta Shalyam, like something falls into the sea and say, I'm not Miyash. Once you go to war, there's proper Yish. So Rashi considers Gzela with Yish, and therefore you can't Goy cannot conquer a Yid with force, he can conquer a Goy through force. Because you need a proper Yish, and which only a Goy can do that. Tosfos, other Rishonim argue, they say, no. Kibush Melchoma is a very strong Kenyan. A Goy can actually capture a Yid L'mas Yadov. Again, he can't. A Goy can never capture a Yid properly that he should own the Yid Kenyan Agov. But a Goy, Kibush Mechum is a very strong Kenyan. Kibush Mechum is a very powerful Kenyan, nothing to do with Gzela. It's a different type of Kenyan. How it works, Dina Machus Adina, it's very difficult to explain how it's Dina Machus Adina, because when you capture a different country, it's not Dina Machus Adina. Dina Machus Adina, you can have your own country. But Kibush Mechum is you go to war with a different country, a different nation, and it's international law, or everyone understands you can be Koine Kaka through Kibush. Because otherwise, no country belongs to anyone. all the countries always conquered one from the other, all through the Doris. So Kibbush Mechomer is a very strong kibbush, and a goy can actually do that. A goy can conquer a country, he can conquer people, and he can even conquer Yidden, Lamas Yidayim, according to a lot of Rishonim. It's very interesting, Netziv in Parashat Bereishis, so he brings the Gemara in Shavuos. It's very unclear what the Gemara actually means, but the Netziv says, the Pasuk says, Miyad ish ochev edrash es nefesh odom. When a person kills another person, there's lesitzach, you cannot kill another person. Miyad ish ochev. It's a single person kills a single person, then there's even shev mitzvah noich lesitzach. But when you kill a lot of people, no, then you get away with it. If I kill one person, you're lesitzach. If you go to war, I can wage war, and I kill 1,000 people, then I'm okay. The Pasuk talks a singular form. You can kill, a person can kill, it's not article one person, but he can kill many people in the form of war. And he brings a Gemara to back it, that war is not considered over Shavu Mitzvah Menoich, by killing people and by capturing Karka. Nevertheless, I have to finish off saying the Racham HaKodesh says, in the last week's Ezra, that even though Goyim can actually capture people in captivity, and according to the law of Rishonim, own them in Lamas Yadayim, this one refers to Bnei Shmuel, because he says the last pasuk in Parashas Chayesura says V'lemnei Pilagshim Nosan Avrom Atonos. Avrom gave Atonos Bnei Pilagshim. What about Bnei Shmuel? There also is a sentence. Why didn't he give Bnei Shmuel any presents? His Bnei Pilagshim sent away, and Bnei Shmuel is not mentioned. Says the Chaim HaKodesh, Ki Shmuel Mishpat Kni Yeshboy. Shmuel belongs to Yitzchok. Meshulach Vo'imedi. Lord, we'll see, Ishmael belongs to us. Avram didn't have to send away, he was sent away, he belonged to Yitzchak. And Hashem will do Mishpat to him in Mitzchem Bakur of Mamash. So Avram didn't give him presents because he belonged to Yitzchak. So whatever Ishmael, but Ishmael cannot conquer Yid because the Eved cannot conquer his master. Just to finish off. This Kibbush Mechomer, which is a strong kin either through Yish or much stronger than that, who can use this term of Kibbush Mechomer? If I want to wage war with my neighbor, can I now just conquer his ground and say, okay, I'm going to war with my neighbor? What does Kibbush mean? It's a very strong form of Yish, or let's say even more than that. Going to war. If I want to go war with my street, I want to conquer the street. Would it belong to me? Or do you have to have a melech or a nation? In the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos, he says a very interesting word. He says, "So Eretz Yisrael, we talk about Eretz Yisrael. What? How do you define Eretz Yisrael? Arutz shekibsha melech Yisrael, a novi, whatever, a novi or a king conquered, medas rov Yisrael on behalf of most of Klal Yisrael. That's considered conquered land. But he says, yochad mi Yisrael. If one person, a mishpocha shevet, went and conquered part of land, that's not considered Eretz Yisrael. Legaba mitzvahs lois boretz. So the Rambam says, if a yochid or mishpucha goes and conquers a part of land, it's not considered Eretz Yisrael legaba mitzvahs lois boretz. It would be considered Eretz Yisrael legaba all the other halachas. It would be considered conquering land. So the Rambam explains the Chora, a yochid can conquer land. There is a way of, if I would be very powerful, I make a militia, make some terrorist organization, I could consider myself a conqueror, and conquer land. Well, obviously, it would have to be not against the Dina Machusa. There wouldn't be, can't be a melech override my kibush. But if I'm strong enough to declare myself a king or a koivish, I could have Dina Kibush Mechoma and be koivish something with a very strong king of kibush. Want to finish with one a nice gedank I saw 2 weeks ago in Kerem HaTzvi, Ala Torah. In Parash Vayera, where he says, Hashem Vayera, Elav Hashem Beloyna Mamre. And we know why Mamre is referred to by name, because Hush Nosla Eitzav Alamila. So all the Mepharshim ask, Avram asked for Eitzav from a Goy to do mitzvahs, Hashem told him to Mila, why, what does it mean? So he says, very interestingly, in Parash beforehand, Avram Vino went to war with 318 Avodim, he went to war with the five kings. Avram Vino was now scared. He said, these kings are out to get me. They want the Nekom in me. If I go now and have a bris milah together with all my Anshe Bayis, all 318 people of mine, I'll be in a very vulnerable situation. They'll come, and it's a good day for them to come and conquer me, to come and get rid of me. So he was scared. He asked Mamre, what should I do? Should I do this betzina? No one should know about it. Or not? So Mamre told, no. Have bitochen, don't worry about it. Hashem told you to do it. Do it, bepirsim. Have bitochen, Hashem is baruch. You'll be okay. And he gave him the eitzah to do it, as the pasuk says. He did it in the middle of the day. Everyone knew he was doing it. But he was scared. What happened to Masa? So, and nobody could go out of the house. So Hashem came a roundabout way, in a way he couldn't think of, because he had betochen, and that would save his life. Because he had betochen Hashem, he did it b'etzem yom hazeh, he wasn't scared, and Hashem saved him a different way. So we're mispal now. It says, Ashei sheyoyches v'nipetzes olelayach el asola. It doesn't say, Ashei sheyoyches, we should go to war and kill the goyim. Hashem has his ways, let the goyim murder themselves. Ashei sheyoyches v'nipetzes olelayach el asola, Hashem mikuyim. Without Yiddish soldiers never have to go in and do it themselves. And we have a talk on Hashem is Baruch, he should be bring the Melech HaMashiach, and he should finish off the war with us. And Bezoichet, Sabin Abayis, and Tchiyas HaMesim, Bevi'ez Kod Tzedek, Meri Meni Omer.
Amen.